Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and joining with me, John Ramos, in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris.
Hello, John. How you doing today?
Hey, man. I'm doing good. Chris, you're still out there? You take care of that?
I am still here.
Hey. Do you remember the swoosh?
Oh, I do remember
Chris's swoosh.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I just...
Wasn't it a Cadillac emblem?
I don't know. You know, we met Chris. You know, Chris was just coming to God. I love Chris. I mean,
yes.
He's my brother. You know what I'm saying? This is my partner here. You know?
Yeah. I'm feeling it.
Here it comes. But do you remember the long feathered hair?
Uh-huh.
I mean, remember the long? You know, it's like, it's kind of cross between the length and the mullet. It was like, what? What the hell with that? Like, he was cool, man. He was cool.
He was hip, man.
Then he had the swoosh. He had the Nike, that chain that he had.
Big fat thing, yeah.
Oh, that big medallion.
Huge.
It was like a cross between, you know, I don't know, AC/DC, Flavor Flav. I don't know. It was like... Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're messing with Chris and having a good time with him. But
what
an amazing story. I was sharing your testimony, Chris, with someone just yesterday. And how awesome... Just everything that God's done in your life, in all of our lives, but
Amen.
It's just so
amazing.
Beautiful.
It's quite amazing.
We marvel every day.
Yes.
Yes, we do. We won't bring up the Bible situation no more, but you know, there's so much to this story. There's so much.
Yes, there is.
Well, if you're joining us in the Extra Hour, we want to welcome you here this morning, but you know, we want to talk a little bit about seeking. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to talk about seeking because, you know, men for a long time have been seekers. Mm-hmm. They really have.
Right.
And the question is often, you know, what are we seeking? You know, some have sought money. Some have sought fame. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Some have sought luxury. And some have sought a name, a status.
Right.
You know, or sought. They sought after relationships and they sought after love,
mm-hmm.
houses and cars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, who's seeking God?
Mm.
Who's seeking God? And the thing is that you have to search God out. You know, if you want a relationship with God, I mean, he puts the seek in us. It's not like we have mm-hmm. to, you know,
right.
start from scratch. If you're seeking and you're looking, and mm-hmm. many are today, let me tell you, many, right. many are looking to God and for God. But, you know, that word seek means to go on a search or a quest
mm-hmm.
to try to find or discover by searching. And let me tell you something. If, you know, you can find a lot of things. I mean, you can search for a lot of things, but the question is, what are you searching for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes people say, well, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy in our life. I just mm-hmm. want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that happiness is just something that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's circumstantial oftentimes
right.
based upon what's happening in your life.
Right. And it's short-lived a lot of times.
Very short-lived. I mean, get the new iPhone and 2 minutes is gone. I mean, that feeling is that's it.
Yep.
You know?
Time for an upgrade.
It just went away. I mean, mm-hmm. It's fleeting moments.
Mm-hmm.
Get the new car, you're excited, and then the reality of a payment
just...
and the first spill.
Right. Or the trash thrown on your floor.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't know nothing about that.
No.
But anyway, but Think about it. Mm-hmm. It's just so fleeting. And joy comes from the Lord, because you can have joy residing on the inside of you, mm-hmm. no matter what you're going through, because God brings joy. Jesus brings joy. Having a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Now, Psalms 27:4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Mm. And I remember when I first came to God, I'm like, man, this is me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just need to do one thing right now. I mean, right. I've been searching and doing so many. I've been all over the place. Mm-hmm. That I just need to focus on this one thing.
Yeah.
And that's seeking God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If that's you today, and you, maybe you've are just coming to God, or maybe you've been following the Lord for a long time and you've been distracted, you know, you can seek deeper mm-hmm. into God and the ways of God and having a relationship with him. Luke 9 says, the Word of God says, "So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks mm-hmm. receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened."
Right.
There's a verse of scripture that says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it's the glory of kings to search it out." Mm-hmm. And so you got to spend time with the Lord.
That's right.
You know, it's not going to be no osmosis experience here. We're talking about growing in God. You know what I mean? Not mm-hmm. just going to jump in or just, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
19%, according to George Barna, 19%. Why are we talking about this? Because only 19% of the church, according to George Barna statistics, mm-hmm. actually read the Bible.
That's,
I mean,
right.
how can you go after God? How can you have a heart that's for him? How can you seek him out, his ways, his will, his plans?
Right.
For your life, for your family's life, for your destiny in God, if you're not even abiding or spending time in his word.
That's right.
I mean, that's not a recipe for success here. You know what I'm saying?
No
time with God and trying to see God at the same time. No, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Right? So this is important. Because we can be going through emotion. And going through, you know, some, we talked about it yesterday, Matthew West's song, and I'm just going through he says, "I don't want to go through the motions. Just don't want to live one more day
mm-hmm.
without your all-consuming, you know, power, basically, on my life."
Right.
And at some point, enough has to be enough. I love what Hebrews 11:6 says, that, "And without faith, mm-hmm. it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists mm-hmm. and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him."
That's right.
Dude, there are rewards mm-hmm. to seeking God.
Absolutely.
You know, there are rewards when you say, you know what? I'm going to get my life mm-hmm. right. I'm going to get my priorities right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a heart that's for God, and I'm going to seek him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to search out his ways. I'm going to make him number one in my life. I've been listening to BFN radio, and you know what? I don't want to be that 19%. Mm-mm. I want to be one that abides with the Lord. Right. You know, you can go to, you get a simple plan. If you're listening today, you can go to get a simple plan at iabide.org. Mm-hmm. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing.
Right.
And it's a plan where how you can begin to seek after God, mm-hmm. make him the first. But listen, there's a reward. Says, you know, listen, if you're going to come to him, you got to believe he exists, number one. You can't search a God that you don't believe exists.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him out.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about that. I mean, every day we get a chance to seek his face.
Yeah.
Every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, personally, I do my abiding in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I mean, it's just the most quietest time. It's most clear-headed. It's before all the distractions of, you know, your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just amazed of all the time. You know, sometimes there's days you just ain't feeling it. You know, it's just, it's tough because everything's coming against you a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just amazed how many times, you know, how God just
shows
speaks.
Up.
He shows up.
You know, amazing?
The revelation that comes, you know, when it's just, it just blows me away. You know, when we earnestly seek him, like you said, he speaks to you.
Yeah. I mean, James says that if we draw close to God, he will draw close to us.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before that your first step often determines God's second step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you got to take the first step. You have to take spiritual responsibility for your own personal walk. That's mm-hmm. what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that same statistic, George Barna quotes, that only 3% of all believers actually feel a personal responsibility for their own spiritual development.
Unbelievable.
And you were joking earlier about Peter's t-shirt about, you know, get your own groceries, eat your own groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about is that you need to not trust and rely on hearing God's voice, not just from, you know, a message, a preached message, or maybe from a pastor that shared with you, or
mm-hmm.
listen, that, you know, a devotional, somebody else's groceries, it's someone else's abiding time that they wrote down in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And you're reading their experience with God. And sure, it could minister you. Sure, it could bless you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like that one word from God
to you. Nothing.
I mean, come on. You know, that right there alone
mm-hmm.
will set you apart.
Absolutely.
I forget who that young boy from Kentucky used to say. He says, that'll crank your tractor. We used to know it's skipping me right now, but he says that used to crank my tractor.
Steve?
No, I think I know you're talking about somebody we know, like, or minister.
Yeah, someone. It's slipping me right now, okay. But I remember the quote.
Sounds like something Ray Hughes would say.
It really cranks my tractor, but
yeah.
Listen. We're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can seek God when times are seemingly good. But let me tell you, there could be a situation. I mean, we talked mm-hmm. about Manasseh a little bit yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
There could be some trials and some tribulations that could mm-hmm. really help you put the seek in you. You know what I mean? When things start drying up and things, I mean, it's amazing. It's like, where's that Bible? Where's my journal? What?
Don't
bother me. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing what pain and suffering does
mm-hmm.
in terms of being, you know, on the straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the early church and they're persecuted in the book of Acts, they were like, man, they didn't miss nobody. And they were like,
no.
they showed up
early.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, and sometimes we can just fall asleep and fall back in the luxury and the blessed land that we have here in the United States. I mean, this is a blessed land. We have so much at our disposal.
I was just thinking that this morning. I think about that message. Can you stand to be blessed? Every time Israel got blessed, they fell right back into idolatry. I mean, and that's the same today. Nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. You know?
So true. That is a powerful message. Maybe somehow we can make that available to those who subscribe. But can you stand to be blessed? I mean, so many times people want a blessing from the Lord. They God bless me with a car, bless me with a job, bless me with a marriage, bless me with children. And so God, listen, who does not want to bless their children?
Mm-hmm.
Who does not want to give their children the best of the best? If you know, if that's what they can do and it's going to benefit them the most, you know, who doesn't want to be kind hearted and generous in that way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God the stopping and the blessing is not on God's part here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
The clog is not there. God wants to bless us, but the question is, and the question to you is, can you stand
mm-hmm.
to be blessed?
Yeah.
And you go back in your inventory some you know, others' lives and some situations that maybe your own, that when God did bless you with the job, when God did answer your prayer, And gave you the child when they said you were not going, no way, no. No, when you prayed for a spouse and you were tired of being alone. I mean, you were just tired of being alone and I needed
just
help.
Just wanted somebody to talk to.
I just wanted
to share those times with.
Don't do it to me today. I just want to talk to someone. I just want to be there, you know. And now God gave you that someone. And now you don't, you know, now, wait a second. You don't want to leave.
Yeah. Now you can't get up.
And the other one doesn't want to, you know,
you can't open your Bible.
Follow God, you know, submit to his ways. It's like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this what you prayed for? Isn't this what you wanted?
Yep.
You got the job. I mean, you were unemployed. The job that you had wasn't right. They were treating you wrong. You were suffering. And God bless you and put you in a good place where they were taking care of you and paying you a nice wage.
Yeah.
And now that God bless you with the job, now can't gather with the fellowship. I can't be out in the harvest field.
Mm.
I can't do a prayer watch. I can't pray. I can't every now because I have my job. You know,
my job. Yeah.
It's amazing how many things that get blamed on because of a job. Like, you just have to do this. You know?
Yeah. Well, God can fix that.
Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can.
I've seen
you know?
It.
Oh, tell me about it. Mm. And the thing about it, too, is like, you know what? Okay, well, then just get another job.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between seeking God's hand and seeking God's face.
That's right.
You can't seek God's provision. And God's, you know, protection and you know, get me out of jail or hell free card and just what God can do for me.
Yeah. So there's a difference between seeking God's face and seeking his hand, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't do both. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that if you just focus on seeking God, you know, because oftentimes people think that if my way to this answer, since I know God holds everything in his hands, I'll just cozy up to God and bat my eyes and, you know, listen, God cannot be fooled and he will never be manipulated.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, you cannot play God. Let me just help you out real quick. You know what I mean? Because it's better just to come so sincere to the Lord and seek him for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's seek right. And like you were talking about earlier, John, is that, you know, when you're seeking God, you know, that's when the rewards come. You know, if you're focusing on him, then he's bringing all these other things that, because he knows what you need before you even ask of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so, but when you're seeking his face, he's just going to bless you that way. He's going to bring it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, Greg used to do this, what was that called? You know, he preached this message one time and where he was talking about, you know, man, you know, he did a. Oh, the words are escaping me.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm talking about. You know, where he brought somebody up on stage, and you know, when his eyes were focused on God, was just
he did
like
a little illustration.
Yeah, he did an illustration where, you know, where God was just like sticking. You know, he needed some money, put it in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Needed some clothes, put a jacket on him. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so, but that's what God does for us. When we're focused on him, he takes care of our needs.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Then all these things will be given.
That's right.
Then. And also, you guys, we talked about this as well yesterday, is that, you know, the word tells us in Isaiah 55:6, that seek the Lord while he may be found.
Mm.
Call on him while he is near. Let me tell you, there is a time for seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't respond to the Lord's gentle call, if you don't respond to the Lord's gentle whisper, I mean, he's put people in your life. He's surrounded you with help. He's trying to get a hold of you.
Mm.
If you don't respond in the time when he is near, you know, Jesus was in his ministry, was continually moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, he was about the Father's business. You know, and there's a time where you can call out to God. I remember the man on the side of the road that is beating his chest in his Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Mm. I mean, he was going to be determined that he was going to be heard. He was blind. And I'm going to seek God, even though people are looking at me crazy.
Yeah, tell him to shut up, go away.
You're making a scene, man. Mm. You're making a scene. Don't you think you're being a little too radical by showing up early? Don't you think you're being radical by abiding every day? You understand.
But what did Jesus do?
Went straight to him.
Yeah.
Went straight to him.
What can I do for you?
What can I do for you? And you want to get the attention of God? Mm. Seek him for the right reasons. We already know he's going to reward you.
Yeah.
We already know he's going to reward you. I like in 2 Chronicles 15:2 says, the Lord is with you when you are with him.
If
you seek him, he'll be found by you. I mean, he's not trying to play a hide and go seek. This is not a hard thing to do. You know, he's not a mystery, no matter what you've been told. He is a very relatable God. But we have to put him in a place of honor. We've got to put him in a place of value. We're just not going to bump into him. And we don't want to be casual in our approach to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to approach him with reverence. We need to approach him like we spoke about earlier, with the fear of the Lord. And we want to desire his presence. We want to desire his will. We want to seek him for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever maybe have a small children and you're like, you know, you want to go out with me somewhere and go for a ride?
Oh, yeah.
And they start asking you, well, where are we going?
Where are we going? What are we doing?
Yeah. Are you going to buy me something? Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Are you with me because you want
to
ride?
My kids used to do that.
So you left them home?
Yep. I said, well, never mind. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
You know, and they finally got it.
Well, yeah.
They don't ask anymore.
Yeah. And then what does a good dad do if you're out? But, well, yeah, here's a pack of gum.
Or I'll swing into McDonald's or whatever and get an ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They love that.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure they do. You know, but that's what it's all about. We desire to be in a relationship with those that want to seek us for us.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to bless you.
Right.
He wants to bless you, but can you stand to be blessed?
That's right.
Motives are so important. The why of what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, means so much. We've heard it before. 100 people could be doing the very same exact thing,
mm-hmm.
but only one person can have the right motive. You know, of what, why they're doing what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and in your quest to walk out a relationship with your Lord, and in your journey here to have an abiding relationship with God, you can make things very simple and not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
When we go back to Psalms 27:4, right from the beginning, and remember one thing. It's so important to be single-minded when it comes focused on one thing. I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in this temple. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wonder if there's anybody real. You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. And you can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
Dude, John, I was opening up my mail the other day, and I got an offer to subscribe to a magazine. Check this out. They wanted $25 a month. Not a year, a month.
Steve, $25 a month. Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah. That didn't even get a second look. I was like, no. Like, $25? Trash. That's where that went. I was like, that ain't jiving, you know?
I bet. $25.
Not going to work. But get this. Did you know that what you can subscribe for free?
What?
VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get the downloads. You get to see more of what is not heard, more of what's not talked about on the daily VFN radio program. Check it out. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with Next Step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month,
You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Willie Gammon only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's like a college, you know, radio program, right? Like, hey, our today's program's going to be... Now, this is the most exciting dude around, right?
I know. What happened?
He gets up in the morning, and he looks at his toothpaste and goes, I'm so excited! And he rubs his hands together, and he comes on the radio and is like, good morning! Good morning! Well, I just want to say
No comment. We'll just leave it there.
And no comment.
Like, and he still won't say that.
I was like, I don't know. Come back to us.
Come back, Sanguine.
Sanguine. It's what it is because the personality conference hasn't happened yet. Once he teaches it, then he can watch it.
Then he wakes up.
Yeah, we're just waiting for him. We're figuring, you know, by the time we're like 1,000 years in heaven, you know, and it's like, we know already we're in heaven. We have the mind of Christ. And I was like, we got it. You're a Sanguine. Right. Do you remember the day that you found out you were a Sanguine? Do you remember that?
Yes.
You were in such deep denial that life was over your head. Yeah. But it doesn't really.
I thought I was melancholy.
Right. Oh, and only a Sanguine could convince himself of that.
Yeah, right. Only a Sanguine. Oh, my goodness. Only a Sanguine.
You thought you were a melancholy?
What in the world were you thinking? So tell us.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Okay, I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is comedian number one and comedian number two, Pat and Chris. You know, Chris, I don't want you to be influenced by this. I mean, I am concerned that, you know, the producer of VFN Radio, that this week I've heard that same commercial twice now.
Is that twice?
Twice. Yeah.
I only remember the first one.
Well, I'm keeping score. You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that was. I kind of like that better than the swoosh segment.
Well, you know, it's the hair product in Pat's hair that's really getting to us right now. It's all of that gel and mousse. You know, I think it's starting to affect him.
Right.
I guess I'm gonna have to come down and do that personality.
You're gonna have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to come down. I won't hear the last of it. You know.
We gotta straighten us out.
Yeah, man, we sure do. Well, talk to us. Talk to us, oh comedic one. It's amazing. He's got jokes, Chris. All right. Okay.
They come out from time to time.
Every now and then.
I see. When Mullen Guy releases that one joke they have, I see you hear it over and over and over again. Okay.
Yeah, man. It's still good. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we were talking this morning a little while ago about, you know, seeking the Lord.
Yes.
And which is, you know, there's nothing like it.
Right.
You know, and he's our only hope. You know, when we turn our backs on him, it's just not going to be good for us when we do that.
Where else is there to turn to?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said earlier, I mean, no job, no relationship, no whatever you're chasing. You know, it's only temporary. Mm-hmm. It's not going to last. And, I mean, I'm reading again this morning, and I'm coming toward the end. You know, I've been talking about, you know, King Asa, I talked about Manasseh, I talked about mm-hmm. a lot of different kings, and we're coming to the end of the reign of the kings in Judah and Israel. And it's really sad the way it just ends. You know, and you think about the very beginning, you think about God gave him a choice, SOS, remember that?
Is it yes.
Samuel or Saul, which way you want to go?
Right.
They gave him what they wanted.
Which is a tale between two kings.
Tale between two kings, exactly.
And God's way or man's way.
Yeah, if you go this way, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what? And every bit of it happened. You know, here we're coming to the end of it. And basically, it's the fall of Jerusalem. You know, and I'm reading, again, in Second Chronicles, you know, when we talked about Jehoiakim, God set man, and then and he got replaced with Jehoiachin. And then Zedekiah was, mm-hmm. I believe he's one of the last kings of Israel. And it didn't go well for him because, you know, again, he didn't, was not a follower of God. He did not, he was very evil. You know, he did evils in the eyes of the Lord. And like I said, this is in 2 Chronicles 36. And he did evils in the eyes of the Lord. And he did not humble himself. And at this point, King Nebuchadnezzar had captured Jerusalem mm-hmm. at this point. And you know, he was telling me, like, you need to do this, do that. And Zedekiah, he was just so arrogant, he just wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to obey God. You know, and Jeremiah the prophet had come to him many times. Says, look, you know, if you'll just listen, right. you know, things may go well for you. But if you don't, it's over.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? It's like someone that just says, listen, if you would just listen,
yeah.
give ear mm-hmm. to some advice. You know, that's...
Right. Just pay attention. Listen, you know. But he wouldn't do it. And, of course, Nebuchadnezzar didn't take too kindly to that. And so he became very stiff-necked, hardened his heart, would not turn to God. And, of course, then all the leaders and the priests were even more unfaithful. So not only is him, but, you know, the people he's surrounded with, and they're doing the same thing. And so then what happens is, God, this is amazing, God. It says, the Lord, the God, the Father, sent word to them and his messengers again and again.
Mm.
He sent messengers again and again, still trying to warn him.
Mm-hmm.
Because God had pity on his people. You know, he didn't want to see them destroyed.
Right.
You know, and then, but they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy.
Mm.
None. It was over. God had just had his fill. It was done. So Nebuchadnezzar comes in there, and God uses him and just wipes the place out. He burns down the temple, takes all of the sacred things, all the silver and the gold, everything. Takes, you know, most of God's people captive, and mm-hmm. takes them back to Babylon. And of course, eventually Zedekiah, he was killed, and killed his whole family. And part of the word from Jeremiah was they were going to be captive for 70 years. So now they're in, you know, the land of Babylon, away from their home, away from everything.
All right.
But then after the 70 years, another administration comes to power.
Wow.
King of Persia.
Oh, wow.
He takes over.
Mm.
Well, this is how control God is. Think about this.
Mm.
This is what happens. God speaks to King Cyrus of Persia.
Right.
This pagan king of this foreign mm-hmm. land, God mm-hmm. speaks to him. And he touches his heart. And he tells him, and he puts in writing, that he is to basically finance and promote the rebuilding of the temple.
Mm.
For the Jews that are captive in his land right now.
Right, right.
And he's going to provide basically all their needs, what they need, put it in writing, made a proclamation. And then at the same time, then God starts stirring the hearts of the people of Israel that are in the land.
Wow.
And he's telling them, you know, basically he stirs up, I think it's the priests, the Levites, and the tribe of Judah and Benjamin
mm-hmm.
to go back and rebuild the temple. And you just think about, you know, God is so in control. And the proverb that came to mind was, you know, he has the heart of every king in his hand, and he directs it like a water course wherever he pleases.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter what you know, how destitute we may be, how terrible what things, how it's looking right now, especially you think about today, the way things are going.
Sure.
It doesn't matter who's in power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what matters is where's our heart in this whole thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to be faithful to what God's telling us to do? Are we going to continue to seek him?
Right.
Like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, because throughout history, you know, kings come and kings go.
Kings go.
You know, and people are in office and people are not in office, but what remains the same always, mm-hmm. what remains true, what stands forever, is Jesus Christ, his kingdom, and his word.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, it's a great word because we just got to let the main thing be the main thing, mm-hmm. and that's God.
Absolutely.
And God has a way.
Mm-hmm.
God has a way of making his will known on the face of the earth,
right.
you know, with or without us. And
right.
hopefully we can participate in the process. Hopefully our hearts are turned to him. We're hearing his voice and we're stepping out in obedience. But, you know, God told Reinhard Bonnke, evangelist, he asked her to mm-hmm. do this awesome work. He says, I want to, you know, use you to do mm-hmm. this wonderful work. And Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist of the continent of Africa, says, you know, oh, God, I'm so honored. I'm so honored that you chose me.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, Reinhard, you're my third choice.
Right, exactly.
The other two, pass me up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we don't want to be passed up.
And also, if you think about it, when God stirred their hearts, you know, think about it. They're probably, been, they're settling, basically. They probably had jobs. They've had families. Mm-hmm. You know, they probably got comfortable where they were at, even though they were in captivity.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. they're starting to think, well, you know, this prison doesn't look too bad. You know, I could paint these walls another color. You know, it's not that bad.
Right. Wow.
So they had a choice.
Wow.
Which was going to be a huge, I mean, monumental task.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they travel hundreds and thousands of miles, I don't know how far the distance it was, but yet they're basically going to be starting over.
Mm-hmm.
Build new houses, build new lives, start completely over, you know.
Wow. Well, God's good, man.
Yeah.
God definitely has a way of, like I said, making his will be known.
Right.
Absolutely. And establishing his kingdom. It's like, it's just better just to follow the ways of God.
Absolutely.
You know, because you may end up in a place of captivity where you're just going to have to wait and wait and wait. You know, again, talking about can you stand and be blessed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they weren't able to stand and be blessed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a season where God opened that door again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you missed it in his mercy,
mm-hmm.
he'll come back and check on you. Sometimes people are just not done yet. It's like, not ready.
No.
Not ready. And so it just goes a kind of in cycles, but
absolutely.
It's great, you know, to on kind of in that stream there, you know, how important is it to be unified? How important it is to be focused on the ways and the things of God? We're talking about seeking God. We're talking about, you know, right recently here now, folks that didn't seek God. But what if you had a single focus of being unified in the things of the Lord? And Matthew 12:25 says that Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. If you don't have unity, it's not going to stand. And you can't have unity for unity's sake. I mean, what are you unifying over? I mean, Jesus said, listen, this is an important statement. He said, look, a kingdom divided against itself. That's a family divided against itself, a marriage divided against itself, a city divided against a country, a nation,
mm-hmm.
a company, a business. You could be divided from your own self.
Yeah.
You have conflicting things going on inside of you. I think Romans 7 helps us out with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to be unified, and you don't want to allow a spirit of division to come on in.
Right.
Because this is one of the tools of the enemy. It's divide and conquer. You know, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Satan doesn't have any unique power of its own. It's everything is based off of trickery and deception and lies and just it's a web of deceit.
Mm-hmm.
It's constant. And if he can get you to doubt each other's love, if he can get you to doubt one another, it's talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the church, the people of God. This is not good. We can't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And we have to be constantly watching what's being sowed in our heart. Isn't that good?
That's very good.
How important is that in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
In the church amongst believers, in a family, in a group. You know, and the enemy tries to use so many things at his disposal. You know, someone get offended.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, the spirit of offense, you're closed up. You're, you know, oh, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, right.
You know, pride is so blinding, causes you to shut everything down and you can't see anymore. Your humility is you go first. But pride is so blinding, has this spirit of jealousy,
mm-hmm.
spirit of envy. It's like, where did all of this, where did this creep in at? It's an attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's an attack to be divided. And listen, if your house is divided, if your church is divided, if you're divided, and how are we going to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete crushing. And how we can arm ourselves, how we can be prepared is, one, to be watchful when these things are happening. When we see these subtle movements, but also to position ourselves to move in love and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about offense before, but offense has a way of separating yourself, you know, from the person that's either offended us or there's a perceived offense. Mm-hmm. And so that begins to bring a wedge. I believe even the name devil means one who brings in one who is a wedge.
Right. Comes in and divides.
Comes into divide. And a good focal point is Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Put on, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. And then it goes on to say, bear with each other. Listen, if you're in a relationship, something, you just gotta, you gotta bear. You gotta carry that burden. You gotta carry each other's burden. That way, fulfill the law of Christ. You gotta put up with some things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't be so quick and throw the towel in and just jump on that. Wait a minute. Just bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ways that we can guard ourselves from just division and being divided,
mm-hmm.
you know, we talked about the nation that's, you know, people are putting petitions in to secede from the country. It's like, wait a minute. We got to start looking at ways that we can start to begin to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Ways that we can bear with each other, ways that we can forgive as the Lord's forgiven us, and how we can move in a place of love.
Right.
I mean, have you ever been part of, you know, it's sad to say, it's common, but, you know, a sports team that's divided against each other and everyone's looking out to be the star of the team. Let me tell you something. They're not going to go anywhere.
Mm-mm.
You know. You know what? It's probably one of the toughest challenges that a coach has, you know, when you're coaching a team,
right.
is to get them to remember that they are a unit.
Right.
The letter I does not exist in the word team.
Mm-mm.
This is not about hot shots or someone getting their moment or someone better, but it's about everyone performing and functioning as one cohesive group with the one goal,
right.
and that's to play your heart out and produce a win.
Absolutely.
Well, you have sometimes some interesting egos on a team, and they're just thinking about self, their individual stats, their individual numbers, and what they look like,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what's better for the team.
Right.
You know, I mean, John Baptist said, "I must decrease so that God can increase."
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you're looking for unity, you may have to decrease. You may have to pull yourself back in a given situation and prefer your brother, prefer your sister. You know, always, I like to say that you know, Lord reminds me, we can always win if we always remain in the posture of humility and love. I mean, just so love. Mm-hmm. So love. No matter what happens, if you take the position of humility, if you take the position of love, you know, whatever you've done to the least of these, mm-hmm. you've done unto me, you know, you're doing it unto Jesus.
Right.
And that way you can walk out victorious. And it's amazing. Once you sow and plant love in a situation, in a relationship, it's amazing how things come back full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so very, very important about guarding ourselves
right.
in that area. We want to keep unity in the faith.
That's good.
Very, very, very important. Matthew 12, no house divided can actually stand. Can't stand. You must remain unified.
That's right.
And base your unity around love and forgiveness. Well, we're coming close to the end of the extra hour. And we want to be able to share the wisdom moment with you today. And as we often say, is that wisdom is a proper application of knowledge. If we want to be able to know the ways of God, the wisdom of God. And the wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 15:8. And it says, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Think about that. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. You know, there is perception and then there is reality. You know, there are two different things. You know, perception is an idea, an understanding of you know, that you're getting it. This is my idea. But then there's reality. Your perception could be correct. Your perception could be wrong. But reality is reality. And maybe, you know, there's a perception that a sacrifice to the Lord is okay, if you're not living for God. You know what I mean? It's just like, mm-hmm. I'll just do something for the Lord. You know, somebody once said that, listen, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinions, but they're not entitled to their own facts. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you may think that that's right. I mean, obviously King Saul actually thought it was okay for him to start offering sacrifices and start doing things mm-hmm. that was outside of what God required him to do.
Right.
He assumed a role that wasn't his responsibility before God.
Right.
And it's better to obey than to offer sacrifices.
Right.
It's better to walk with God and do what God's requiring with you in a relationship. We talked about seeking God than to start doing these things for God. But you don't know God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes how religion creeps in, you know, if people start getting an idea that, you know, well, if I just go to some services in a gathering in a building somewhere, if I just, you know, do kind acts and help out with widows and, mm-hmm. and walk little old ladies across the street and do all the right thing that I'm supposed to do, wear crosses, then somehow, you know, this sacrifice before the Lord is going to be right. Well, listen, you know, if you're living a wicked life, you know, if you're living a life that's away from God, God doesn't honor that.
Right.
God's saying, listen, I'd rather you not walk any little old ladies across the street and not, you know, wear a cross until you actually knew me. Mm. It's the prayer of the upright that pleases him. And Isaiah, you know, chapter 1, I wish we had more time really to get into it, but Isaiah chapter 1 really talks about all the sacrifices of a rebellious nation, Israel, at that time. They really tried to do all of these things for God, but they didn't know God. God's not interested in our acts. He's interested in our love. He's interested in our obedience, and he's interested in our hearts. You know, we're familiar with Isaiah. We often mention that, you know, the Word of God says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts were far from me. Mm-hmm. And what God desires is prayers out of a pure heart because you love him and you have a relationship with him. So I want to encourage you. It's not about doing any kind of religious sacrifices or works in a way to get God's honor and get God's blessing. You don't have to do that. What he desires is a heart that's turned to him, a heart that says, God, I'm received you as my Lord and in my Savior. And as a result of that relationship, mm-hmm. then good works eventually come out.
Right.
Well, we're coming to the end of the extra hour, and I want to share with you again the wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 15:8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.